Well, today, hello everyone. Again, I'm Will, Dr. Will Horton, also known lately as Cowboy Doc. That's what they started calling me at the conference because I went all Western, all my bolo ties and everything, reinventing myself yet again. And for Melissa, that's part of what we do is we have to reinvent ourselves. But today, I wanted to talk about a concept I call staining. I call it staining. And it's an interesting concept. And really, all it is let's say you have a great weekend, right? And everything's going fine. And then something happens at the end. Hello, Monica. At the end, that then when you look back on an otherwise great weekend, you end up saying, that was terrible, that was horrible, it sucked, everything was terrible, right? But, you know, 95% of it or 75% of it was great. And yet that one event kind of stains, that's the only word I can think, it kind of stains backwards, and it has to do with your neurology, because I'll explain that in a moment. Now, I give a couple examples. I was working with someone, and I'll tie it into addictions in a moment. But it has to do with family, and of course, family is part of the addiction process because, you know, the people closest to you are the ones that make you crazy. And they picked up they were step parent. Well, one was a step parent, but anyway, they picked the kid up and on Friday morning had a really good weekend. Friday night, she said they did something. Saturday had fun, like hiking out, went to the movies. Sunday morning was great, and then they went to drop the kid off, and as always happens in these kind of things, the birth mother, you know, was like an hour and a half late, so they're sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting, and so it like escalated, but by the end of it, and I was working with the stepmom, she's like, the whole weekend was terrible, it was absolutely horrible, and I'm like, and then when we broke it down, she's like, okay, the last hour and a half was bad, right, but even then, it wasn't that bad. They just had to wait. But then she mixed in other emotions, which we all have a tendency to do, feeling disrespected, you know, and not helped. But anyway, so she ended up saying, oh, the whole weekend was horrible. So that's what I call staining. And of course, it can happen. Mostly it happens for the negative, but sometimes it can happen for the positive. In the addiction world, sometimes staining works backwards, where the one or two good times in the addiction, drinking, drugging, whatever it is, will stain back and you'll say, oh, it's so much fun. Well, you'll forget the going to jail or the fights with the spouse or getting fired, but you'll remember the good night at the club or whatever it is. So it's a staining experience, and it just kind of stains through everything that we do. And the reason this works, I can explain it from a neurological standpoint, because as everyone on the call knows, and Melissa, this program is a lot more than just recovery from an addiction. It teaches you how your brain works and gives you more power overall. And what it is, especially when your memories aren't set yet, when you have an experience, the memories are still kind of fluid, and altered, if you will, by events around that memory, because it's a fluid thing going on in your head. Actually, it has to do with neurochemicals and electricity. And it takes a while for the memories to become a little bit more hardened. But of course, now we know there's no such thing as a true memory, because every time you remember something, you change it. That's a discussion for another day. But let's say, so something's going on, and then afterwards, there's some other emotional events, or the things that stain things the worst, that will go back and alter the memories right before it or the memories associated with it. So like the stepmother with that. And in fact, I was telling Abner, I had this experience. You know, I had the conference was rocking. I had one of the most fun times I've had at that conference in years. There are a few interesting experiences, but I kept trying to reframe them as interesting experiences rather than, negatives. But I mean, I was having fun, and then I left there and went down to visit my daughter. So I spent a couple of days with my daughter in New York or in Washington, D.C. and had a great time. You know, went out to eat a couple times. We went to the movies. It was just a, as the Brits would say, it was a lovely little couple of days. And so then I drove down to some other friend's house, and it was a great time. We did some things. It was to see the eclipse. They live in North Carolina, right where that thing went over us. And so I'm like, oh, kind of cool. So I was there, and that was fun. I had a great night. The first night, we, you know, talked. They're theater people, so they got me all excited about theater again. And then, you know, then the eclipse wasn't, it rained. But that really was like neither here nor there. It just reminded me that the best laid plans go askew, right? And I was thinking about the literally hundreds of thousands of people that drove hours that also got caught up. And there's a lot of rainstorms there in through that part of North Carolina, Tennessee, where the total zone was. So anyway, it wasn't just us, but it was still kind of interesting. It got dark, and we were having fun. But that evening, my friends, God love them, they chose to watch the political speech, which I don't do anymore. I used to really getting into all that stuff. And I find for my mental health, I don't watch that stuff anymore, you know? Good side, and I don't care which side of the spectrum you fall on, it just makes me nuts, and I know that, right? And once you really begin to know yourself, then you can alter it. But what began to happen was they watched that was bad enough, and then they chose to watch the town hall meeting by our Speaker of the House. And for me, as I described it to them later, that was like a hour and a half root canal. And it just, and they're like, oh, I used to get into politics. I go, but, and the reasons are irrelevant. I'm like, I was in a terrible mood, right? And I knew I wouldn't sleep well. I already pre-programmed it, right? Because I'm a big believer in, as people go through this program knows, I always try to watch something funny or do something, do some yoga, do something fun before I go to sleep because I sleep better. And I knew if I went to sleep after watching that, political, whatever it was, I don't know, term I want to use is not politically correct. So I wasn't doing well. But then when I woke up the next day, I was getting ready to pack up to drive back home where I'm at now. I had to really work at not letting that one, you know, that couple of hours ruin an otherwise great 2.5 weeks, right? Or especially just even the last few days, you know? So it's that, because I knew my memories were still being formed and I didn't want it to stain the experience. And, you know, and in interpersonal relationships, that's where you can let like a staining experience basically ruin a relationship, especially a new relationship where it's not set yet and you're dating or whatever, and you have a bad evening. Well, that could just, that's it, it's over, right? And you just stain the whole experience, you know? And the staining experience can go back farther than most people think. And again, it doesn't have to be negative. Like I said, it could be a positive experience. And a lot of us that get caught up in dysfunctional relationships will stain a few good times and we'll write that over, you know, the 90% of the relationship that is absolutely horrible. But we'll go, well, you'll pick those few times. So it's just a psychological phenomenon that our brains work. And I've read some stuff on it. They haven't really studied it that much, but I just think it's fascinating, you know? And again, for those of us in addictions, if you're working with addictions, you can have a great weekend. Of course, we get upset. When we get upset, what's our default mechanism is to go back to our addiction, the alcohol, the drugs, the bad relationship, food, whatever our addiction is, we'll default to it. Because that'll make us feel better, right? And again, that has to do with the way that memory got encoded years and years and years ago was probably a staining experience where maybe at one point in time the addiction worked. You know, having a few drinks made you chill out or smoking a joint or eating a bowl of ice cream. Whatever it happens to be, it worked at one time, doesn't work now, but that experience is still there. So we want to be aware of it. And I also stress this staining experience for relationships. And it's also one of the things that happens with us where in a family relationship, especially somebody trying to change the dynamics of the relationship, like coming out of an addiction or trying to reinvent yourself to be a little different, whatever that happens to be, the addiction itself probably has stained the relationship for the people around you, family, friends, significant others, right? And so when you try to present the new you, especially the people closest to you, they still see you through the stain. That's the only way to describe it. And it takes a while to get the oxy clean into their brains and fix that, right? And it's just one of those experiences that we have, you know, and part of that, we've trained our friends and family, people around us, to expect what we do. If we're in addictions, drinking, drugging, whatever the addiction is, it's there. And so, you know, it takes a while to do that. But to kind of close the loop on this little conversation, we can't let that kind of experience, like you've done really well, you had a great weekend, you didn't use, especially if you're new in recovery, and you're feeling so good, and then you, like, are talking to someone close to you, and they go, yeah, but I remember, you know, you've done this before, you've not used for a few weeks, a few months, but I'm waiting for the shoe to drop, right? And you'll let that experience stain everything. And then you'll go, you had a horrible weekend, even though it might have been a great weekend, right? I was just when I worked at, just saw my business card from a place called Charlotte Treatment Center from a couple years ago when I was helping them. I remember working with a guy there, and that's how he relapsed. He'd had, you know, he'd been doing something, and he went off. They got a fishing trip, and he was so proud of himself because he went on the fishing trip, didn't drink beer, which was his drug of choice, and he was so proud. And he came back, and someone close to him basically stained the whole experience by saying, "Well, I'll tell you, how are we sure you didn't drink? You were gone 5 days. How are we sure you didn't drink?" And of course he said, "Well, I'm telling you, I didn't drink." And they're like, "Well, but you're a liar. You're a liar." And of course he gets all livid, gets all pissed, ends up getting drunk again, which proved it was his mother-in-law, right? And then he ends up in rehab. And, you know, and I'm a big one to say, you know, we have to control our side of the street. We have to keep our brains as clear as we can, because everyone else is going to do whatever they're going to do. So anyway, but when it comes to staining, it's something to be aware of, because, yeah, I've been teaching this for years. And as I said, it still happens to me. It still happens to me. And again, on the drive up, since I, like an idiot, decided to drive from Florida to Boston and back, probably drove 4,000 miles in total, almost 4,000. And I had to make sure that I only hit traffic like in Washington, D.C. and New York going up, which you expect to hit traffic in Washington, D.C. and New York City. It's Washington, D.C. and New York City, you know. And in their opinion, it wasn't much traffic. In my opinion, it was horrible. But I had to gear myself up to not let those couple hours around D.C. and a couple hours around going over the George Washington Bridge ruin it. Otherwise, it was a great drive. It was a beautiful day. I'd caught no rain. It was a beautiful drive. I have my Sirius radio on, so I'm bouncing around, you know, doing instant regressions, listening to old music, and then putting a subliminal on in the background while I listen to a couple of audiobooks, Journey of Souls and a couple other things. So I had a great trip, but I couldn't let those small experiences mess me up, you know? And as I said, same thing on the way back. Otherwise, you know, there's a little bit of traffic here and there, but if I don't let it stain the rest of the drive, then I'm in a better place. And then I, you know, then I'm much less likely to want to go back to old behaviors, and which can happen. So that's all I really wanted to give my little talk on, was on staining and how we can do that and how it works. And it basically, the way I understood it, according to my friend Captain Billy, is the neurochemicals which set our memories are fluid, especially, you know, we think it's pretty quick, but it's like it can last 96 hours, right? Before the memories start kind of forming. And of course, you get another emotional charged event, it's going to affect the neurochemicals because they haven't been set yet, right? And it could be for the good, it could be for the bad. So it's just kind of interesting, you know? And I'll shut up with, promise to God, this is it, with an interesting experience watching some, listening to the NFL Network when I was driving. And one of the guys that played for the Atlanta Falcons, which kind of had a little bit of a meltdown the last almost two quarters, right? They were up by whatever it was, 25, and then they lost, a heartbreaker. But what he said was interesting. He goes, you know, as soon as the game was over, I knew I could let this experience ruin me. But I had to look back. We had a great year. Whatever they were, 14-2, dominated the playoffs. First half, they destroyed them. Yes, the last couple quarters didn't go well. But I'm not going to let that ruin an otherwise good year. And then, because that's the way I prepare for next year. And I'm like, I wonder who taught him. Right? Because it was a brilliant way so he didn't get caught up in staining an otherwise great year. They were one of the best teams in football, but you know, that last 30 minutes didn't go well, but the rest of it did. So anyway, just that's enough on staining. So we'll let people talk now. See what. All right. Well, I'm recording again. A question came up on how can you use staining for the positive? And rather I was talking about generally in the negative, but again, how can you use it for the positive? Well, there's a technique we teach called the success track. That's what I call it. And it's just when you look at highly successful people, they think a little different than the rest of us. Because usually highly successful people have a stronger sense of self-worth and self-esteem. Not always, but in general. And one of the things a lot of them do, I can't say everyone, but I remember watching three people in particular, and I talked to others. One was Donald Trump. This is back in the 90s before all this other stuff. But they were talking to him about, you know, his businesses and everything. And what he would do is he would totally associate into the good things. Don, you know, I did this, I did that, my team, this is what we did, da, 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 da. When they built Trump Tower, which was, that was kind of cool because that was like a horrible area of New York when he built Trump Tower. And so, but he's doing this, okay, fine. And then when they ask him about things that didn't go so well, he leaned back and said, well, even the Donald had lessons to learn. So he would associate into success, disassociate into from failure, but he talked about what did he learn in those experiences. And then a few weeks later, I was watching Michael Jordan be interviewed, same thing. All these successes, he leaned in, I did this, I did that, I did this. And when they asked him about his basketball experience or baseball, he kind of leaned back and goes, well, even Michael Jordan learned a big lesson. And the lesson was irrelevant, but he only remembered what he learned, not the failure. And same thing again, one of my favorite people, Bill Clinton, talked about, you know, the same thing. It was, I did this, I did that. And so maybe there's a thing they do by associating into the successes. And when you're going to have a learning experience or a -3 experience, if we're going to call it the law of 97.3, if it's a negative experience, some people somehow learn to disassociate the emotion from it. And what did I learn in that situation? Which it's a much more powerful thing. And again, when we were talking talk about the football player for the Falcons, and that's kind of what he was doing. He goes, then I need to look at when he said, you know, that most of the year was great. They had a great year, 14-2, yada, whatever it was. Okay, they had a little meltdown. And he goes, what can I take from that Super Bowl experience? And he goes, you know, you can't be overprepared. And then he said a few things, you know, never stop, you know, always remember that everybody on the field is one of the world's best athletes. And he just went through that whole thing. And it was like, kind of interesting. So, and obviously, you know, he's an NFL quarterback, right? So he's already climbed to the top of the mountain in that field. And so, you know, you have to instantly disassociate. And so if you're going to use staining for the positive, what you could do is when there's a negative or a setback, I hate the term failure, can you disassociate from the feeling, maybe using EFT or one of the other methods, and then just start thinking, what can I take from this to make me better? What can I take from this to make me better? And that's one of the things I had to do at the conference when a little incident happened. I pulled back, disassociated from the anger, because I was pretty angry. And then when I'm like, well, what can I do? Well, I can be the person to not respond and be just do what I do, you know? And I thought, you know, and I thought, like, just like in showbiz, you know, that's my thing, is my other big passion is acting. Hey, show must go on. Curtain's up. It's your time to walk on the stage. Doesn't matter that, you know, somebody just pissed you off backstage or something. You got to go do your shtick. And the difference between an amateur and a professional is the ability to step up your game and put the other stuff aside. So that would be my answer to how to use this when a negative happens. Don't associate into the feelings, because that's what's going to stain the neurology. It's the emotion. Because every strong memory you have is emotionally based. The memories that you can't remember, that's a weird thing, but are the thing, because there's no emotion. You know, talk to guys who spend a lot of time in the military. They can tell you about the, you know, maybe moments of terror or moments of excitement, but most of the military is kind of like flatline. Because you're always wearing the same clothes, hanging out with the same guys, nothing. Very structured routine, you know, flatline. And then, but they'll remember the highly charged emotional experiences. So when you get the negative threes, you want to remove the emotion and only keep the learning, kind of borrowing from the Bill Clintons, the Michael Jordans, even Trump when he was more of a businessman type, you know, 25 years ago. So it's something to think about. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Cool.
How to associate in at the right time.